Before we get started with today's show, I want to remind you that the Low Post and the Hoop Collective with Brian Windhorst did post-game reaction shows together after each game of the NBA Finals. So be sure to check out their wrap-up as the Bucks close the Suns out Tuesday night. You can follow them as well as The Right Time wherever you get your podcasts. Also, 30 for 30 is back with Breakaway, a film about WNBA superstar and activist Maya Moore. The film explores Moore, one of the best basketball players in the world, stepping away from the sport for a remarkable season to fight for a man she believed was wrongly imprisoned. Watch Breakaway on ESPN Plus, presented by Hyundai. The Right Time with Bomani Jones is brought to you by Goodyear, helping you discover the road ahead. Goodyear, more driven. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to The Right Time. My name is Bomani Jones. Thanks for listening wherever you get your podcast. Rate us, review us, give us 5 stars. You only give us 4 stars. I'm inclined to believe you are a hater. It's that time of week where you have a guest join us, coming to us live from Milwaukee, Wisconsin. Yahoo Sports on, Vinnie Goodwill. What's going on, man?
Man, the Milwaukee's the city of champions this morning. They should be feeling real, real good about themselves.
I can't imagine how good they feel about themselves, man. Like, I mean, because you got to remember, like, I'm sure Milwaukee was happy, like, when the Packers win something, but it's not the Milwaukee Packers. It's the Green Bay Packers. This is the first thing they've won since the Bucks, right?
And it's 2 hours away. You know what I mean? Like, that's a whole different ball game. And that's like a cold weather thing. Like, these people were outside like it was Lambeau Field last night. 65,000 people hanging from like light poles and all that type of stuff. I mean, don't get me wrong, there were some troublesome things.
Yeah, they was out. You talking about they out there like it's Lambeau Field. They out there like it ain't no goddamn pandemic. Like, I was looking out there, I was just like, look, that ain't 65,000 people with no vaccine passport. And it's outdoors, so like that, you know, certainly helps. Like, it could be worse. But I was looking at that like, yo, I don't know if y'all heard, man, but it's a Delta variant. And also, for those who don't know, I'm not trying to pick on Milwaukee right now, but this is a factual point that it is the most segregated city in America. And apparently, they did not send out no Deer District invites to them other parts of town. I looked out there. I was like, look at all those heads up. I ain't see a single brownish one at all. I ain't even seen nobody look like Justin Jackson. You know what I'm saying? Like, all I saw was just like, wow. You think Milwaukee didn't have no black people at all? Wait till you find out Latrell Sprewell from there.
No, you know what it is? Sometimes you do see black people out there. I saw them when I was walking in. Like, some of the black people were there quite early, but they were more like spots, like Dalmatians, like 101 Dalmatians type of thing. You know what I mean? It wasn't like they were just out. They were sprinkled.
Yeah, see, I don't fully understand that myself. And maybe they got a law against that about Milwaukee. But if I'm going there, they're 65,000 strong, and you know they be drinking up there. So you know, like, all the things that could possibly happen. I ain't coming with a sprinkle, baby. Like, I'm coming with, like I don't even know what to call it. Like you know, it'd be like chocolate chip, but then there's also chocolate chunk. Like, I got to come with a chunk. I got to bring a squad.
Yes, and there were a couple of shots fired last night, which is, I don't think there were any casualties, but there were shots fired and some, you know, people getting sent to the hospital. So, but to your point, if we're not there, we can't get blamed for it. Can't put that one on us, y'all.
Nah, I'm going to tell you why I ain't going to that circumstance. Again, as I mentioned, it'd be a whole lot of drinking going on up there. Them places with the French, like the French lineage, when LSU went up to play Wisconsin at Lambeau Field a couple years ago, they ran out of beer. Like, they ran out of drink because people, you know, granted, LSU, you know, Louisiana is its own unique sort of animal, but I don't want to be out there because that kind of night, especially with so many reasons, so many people to be happy, that's the kind of night that, you know what that turns into? Some sweaty dude coming and out of nowhere. Y'all talked a little bit that night. He gonna put his arm around you. Look, man, I know you're black and I'm white. You know, I'm not gonna lie, I don't like every black person. There's lots of black people, but there's lots of white people I don't like too, you know? Like that's the perfect night for that kind of situation.
Or the Riley Cooper situation.
Yeah. Well, yeah, that's possible too. I tell you this though, I do, it's another kind of night. If you go home by yourself, that was your choice.
There were a lot of unintended consequences, I'm sure, that occurred last night. I think that's the phrase that the NBA likes to use.
It's like a big old wedding. like a wedding that went really, really well and had really, really, really good drinks, right? And it's not just everybody has a fighting chance, right? It's
everybody's like, got a chance.
Yeah. Like, if it don't work out, it's your choice or your fault. One of the two.
No, you saw a lot of that last night. Yeah, I think there's a lot of alcohol being consumed because it's Milwaukee. Now you think about it, I'm like, damn, why do they drink so much beer here? And I'm like, oh, because it's Milwaukee.
It's
what
cold.
Else you got? What else you got to do? But this is the summer. It ain't cold. It was like 89 degrees at noon yesterday.
Yeah, but they used to it. That I was just saying, they used to it. You know what I'm saying? Like, this is kind of the habit. But that cold, like that right there, that's how you save on your heating bill right there, right? One shot, 1 degree. Maybe that's the premise that you can roll under.
No, you know what's funny? Is that watching these people last night, like people hanging from light poles and stuff like that. And I don't know if you guys see it during the finals because I don't get a chance to see the replays, but they literally have every quarter, they literally show someone chugging 16 to 20 to 32 ounces of beer.
Like, oh, that's what I'm saying.
It's like Kiss Cam. You know how Kiss Cam is like the most annoying thing at an arena or the wedding, the marriage proposal? Here, there ain't no marriage proposals here. Ain't no Kiss Cam. It is watching people eat in reverse. Bomani, you heard me say that right. Watching people eat in reverse and the beer drinking and the chugging. And y'all wonder why Aaron Rodgers trying to get up out of here.
Yeah, remember that time they tried to get Aaron Rodgers to do the chug? And he was like, y'all way too classy for this. Like, this is not going down. But, man, so people don't know, finals come up, you actually got to go places, you be busy. But otherwise, we do about a good hour. Like, we basically do a Right Time episode with Vinny pretty much daily through the course of the playoffs, right? Like, you know, just bounce some ideas, see what's going on here. I don't think you or I was down on Giannis at any point in the ways that other people kind of got down on him. Now, I say this, though, that was hater proof last night. That dude put up a nifty. They were powerless to stop it and went to the line and was making them over and over and over again. Like, I do not generally believe that you can make something happen just because you want it so bad. But it sure looked like that's what that was last night.
Dude, everything with Giannis is effort. If you think of, like, his iconic plays in this final series, it ain't like his sheer athleticism, although that plays a part in it. It is want to. That block on DeAndre Ayton, a whole lot of want to. That running the floor and throwing it, and Jrue Holiday throwing it up, that's a whole lot of sprinting and just getting up and down the floor when you were tired as hell and just beating somebody up and down the floor. So maybe James Harden is right where all you got to do is run and jump. You know what? Running and jumping worked a whole lot last night for a dude that can't shoot. He gave you a 50 ball. And like you said, made all the free throws when Chris Paul said he couldn't make them.
And you know what else? I think the thing that he doesn't really get enough credit for is that we give him credit for blocking shots. I don't know if we give him credit specifically for being a really good shot blocker, right? Like, being a good rim protector and being a good shot blocker are not necessarily the same thing. Like, Roy Hibbert was a dude that was a very good rim protector, but he wasn't a very good shot blocker. This dude and his timing, and like, I mean, he was out there. I would have been shook if I were the Suns looking at some of those plays that he made coming from the weak side and just pitching people's shots out of there. Like, this was a LeBron James type of one-man tour de force, right? The difference I kind of think, and it's interesting, and you let me know what you think about this. Now, in the first half, it was basically just Giannis doing everything. The other guys, not much. The second half, I felt like the other dudes actually showed up, and Giannis was still giving it in that same way. Like, it wasn't a, I'm doing this because y'all need it in the second half. It was like, I'm doing this, and y'all are doing this too. Like, there's something interesting about how dominant he was able to be while there also being room for other people to make an impact.
I didn't get the sense that his usage was high. Like, I don't think I realized that he was close to 40 until maybe he was at like 38. Like, because it didn't feel like he was just dominating the game in such a way that there wasn't enough oxygen in the room. And I think you saw it in game 5 where all three of them played well together. And we hadn't seen that in that series. And the question was, well, Jrue Holiday plays a whole lot better when, you know, Giannis wasn't around. And I'm like, yeah, Jrue Holiday plays a whole lot better when he ain't got to chase around Chris Paul for 40 minutes out of the ball game. You know what I mean? Like, let's use some common sense here. And I think that's a really good thing about Giannis, is that there's not this feeling that I'm scoring at the expense of you, that I'm excelling at the expense of you, that you don't have to suppress whatever you're good at the behest of me. I think you look at Giannis, yeah, sometimes he might pound it a little bit, but when he slides in back door or he gets it off the glass, he's creating a lot of that offense on his own in unconventional ways. And once again, this is a dude that we say can't shoot but score 50 points in a closeout game. That's more than Magic, Michael, Kareem, you know, everybody who we say is a great scorer. This dude put the ball in the basket, and this game was close until the last 4 minutes.
You know, and so the NBA prioritized shooting in the last 20 years, really, the rule changes and everything else. Like, the least interesting way that you can score is a jump shot. Like, let's be honest about that. In terms of, like, watching it, like, you get impressed with somebody getting a whole bunch of shots in a row. Like, really, the least interesting thing that somebody could do to score is, like, make an open shot. It's like, okay, cool, good for you. You know, it had to be done or whatever. But, like, in the old NBA, of course, the rules are made a little different where shooting is so prioritized that I can't say this all the way. But I used to say, ain't no more overrated skill than having a jump shot. Not that having a jump shot isn't good, but having a jump shot is something you have if you need to have a jump shot. So, PJ Tucker, now NBA champion. I don't know how well you remember his time at Texas. PJ Tucker, and a lot of you will not be able to remember this, it's been 15 years now. PJ Tucker was Big 12 Player of the Year as a junior on a team with sophomore LaMarcus Aldridge. And there was no question that PJ Tucker was the best player on that team. And PJ never did anything outside of 10 feet because it never came up. Dwayne Wade, who never had a three-point shot because he didn't need a three-point shot. It never came up. Some guys don't actually need to have that shot. And so, like, I felt like early in the postseason, dudes are sliding in and taking those charges on Giannis, and that was the part that he had to, like, figure out how to adjust to, because that was like, oh, now they're figuring out how to stop him because they're willing to get in front of him in a way that they wouldn't do in the regular season. Either they quit that, or he just decided, oh, well, I'm going to come up with something else. But he just showed up from the second half of game two on. He put up a historic performance.
And remember, leading into game one, we didn't even know if this dude was going to play.
Right. Let alone, we were sure he wasn't.
I was positive. Like, when I saw that, you know, when it, you know, the media days and everything else that happens right before the finals, and it's like, well, Giannis is excused because of his uncertain status before game one. And I was like, oh, that's a signal that he's probably not going to play. And then when he does come back and play, it don't sound like he's going to be like himself because his knee turned the other way. Did y'all see that? I was in Atlanta. I heard a man scream from halfway across a building. Like, you don't forget those screams. You know what I mean? That's like if I was in the building or if I was in the room when Willis McGahee's knee got hit. Remember that during the national title game? Was that Willis McGahee when his knee got turned?
Yeah.
That would have been seared in my head for the rest of my life. Watching Giannis and hearing that, I was like, oh, man, he's done for the playoffs. This is Kevin Durant all over again. And then this dude becomes Bionic Man and decides to give you 240 balls and says, nah, I'm straight. Clearly, y'all ain't believing. I'm going to give you a 50 ball on the way out.
Against
Jay Crowder and DeAndre Ayton. Dudes had nothing for him. Nothing. Like, look, some people in the press box were saying, Monty Williams should do something different. Like what? Put himself out there?
Yo, DeAndre Ayton had his welcome to the big leagues moment in this one, right? And he deserved all the credit for how well he played coming up to this point. But there's another step. We saw that happen to James Harden in 2012, for example, right? Like, it doesn't happen to all of them, but there's steps in this voyage. Devin Booker stepped up in these finals in a way where, like, it seemed like there was a little stretch there where it was like, yo, does Devin Booker know? Like, you know, like, you're young. This is the first time you've done this. Cat stepped up. DeAndre Ayton just wasn't quite there yet and wasn't quite ready to make that level of contribution. And so Chris Paul, who played pretty well yesterday, it's basically him and Devin Booker. Who else did that team have that somebody would say that you can count on?
Not much else because you didn't get the opportunities weren't there. And Jay Crowder hit a couple of shots, you know, to keep it basically from going overboard, right? It's like 8. He hit a 3 to push it to 5. He did just enough to make those guys sweat a little bit. You know what I mean? To prevent this thing from literally just being blown up in the third quarter. But other than that, and I felt like, to be perfectly honest, this is a game where Monty Williams should have, if he had the personnel, to say, Chris Paul, I need 35 from you tonight. This is the game where you say, you know what, this is game 6 on the road. For us to get it back at home for game 7, I'm going to need 35 out of you tonight. Not saying I'm going to need 35 from Devin Booker because that looks different. Devin Booker can get you 35 without you asking for it. Chris Paul's going to get you 35, and it was going to look different and feel different. He couldn't do it.
Chris Paul going to get you 35 if that's the plan. Like, whatever the plan is, Chris Paul going to carry out the plan. And look, like, anytime, because that, you know, the Chris Paul shot, get to the right elbow, take about one hop step over, get that jumper. Giannis couldn't do nothing with it. Nobody was in a position where they could really do anything with it at that point. The thing about the Suns that's also interesting is, this game, not so much, but like the game before, they played really well. At least offensively, they didn't give them much defense. This one, they shot 24% from three. They could not get the buckets. Devin Booker was not getting the buckets. Like, Chris Paul gave him 26. Anybody that's using this as the opportunity to bang on Chris Paul, I just think is totally missing the point on this. Like, you know, ESPN Stats and Info broke out that stat about Chris Paul and blowing 2-0 leads. You know what the first 2-0 lead was that Chris Paul, quote-unquote, blew? 2008 with the Hornets, and they were playing the Spurs.
Wow.
Like, yo, man, what are you talking? It was amazing that that team got where it did in the first place, basically entirely because of Chris Paul. Like, the discourse that we have now just requires us so much in a different way than I recall in the past. It's got to be somebody's fault, or somebody can't be as good as it obviously looked like they were, like with Giannis. Shout out to you, James Harden. With James Harden, that's the most hating thing in the world. I wish I could get you to be 7 foot and be able to run and jump. I wish I could do that. How many people are alive on planet Earth that are 7 feet and that can run and jump? Like, just, it ain't that many of them who actually exist, right? This dude was hater-proof. Proof.
It was amazing last night. And there's a different feel when Giannis takes over a game compared to somebody else doing it. You know, when Giannis is taking over a game, you look up and it's like, damn, he got 10 rebounds now? Damn, he got 35? Like, you remember a couple of shots. You remember a couple of putbacks. But you don't try to put it all together because you don't think of Giannis as scorer, right? When you see scorer, you're like, okay, Devin Booker just ran off 7 straight or something like that. You feel it in a certain way. So then you start paying attention to the numbers. With Giannis, this dude is out there just playing. And all of a sudden, he's accumulating stats, but he's doing it in the context of, look, man, this need to be done. Who else gonna do it? Me?
It's not pretty, right? But it's still amazing. Like, when you really get down to the bottom of it, there are many different ways to build a champion. There are many different ways to carry out your career. There are just many different ways to do that. This dude bet on Milwaukee, and Milwaukee bet on him. And it came up golden, right? Like, this is for everybody on your small market. The guys won't stay there. They'll stay with a competent team. And so they had these discussions in the offseason. After they didn't get there, they went and made that move to get Jrue Holiday, and they built a champion, right? A champion, by the way, with the point that Jalen Rose made, that you think about it, you see it, but you don't realize it. They only got one lottery pick on that whole team.
Wow.
Brooke Lopez.
Double wow.
Yeah, like, it's not even Giannis. It's not even, like, one of your better players. Like, they built a team, like, almost in a way that people build football teams.
I mean, if you think about it like this, and even further your point, Giannis and Chris Middleton's first year in Milwaukee, they won 15 games and then brought in Jabari Parker, who was supposed to be the franchise savior. Like, he became, all intents and purposes, a bust. You know, health-wise, everything else, and they survived it. And they wound up saying, wait, we got something here that's totally unorthodox. This is where I give the Bucks, whoever, you know, whether it's Jason Kidd and all those guys, and, you know, it becomes very easy to bag on Jason Kidd, right? It becomes really easy. But he put the ball in Giannis's hands. And he was like, you're going to be point everything. You're going to do everything but shoot. And all of that came into play, not just last night, but in the past 3 or 4 years. Like, how many guys can you legitimately say, from today on, I can build a championship team around you as my sole best player, not knowing anything else? He's maybe one of three.
Who you got?
Probably
the other
just
two.
Three. Would the other two be Kevin Durant and LeBron?
I don't think that's true about LeBron anymore.
Okay.
I mean, I think it's just a matter of age. Like, yeah, you know, I don't think it's true about LeBron anymore. And it's hard to say about Kevin Durant because we saw him in his majestic return in a situation that is the opposite of what we describe, right? So I'm not positive. No knocks on any of these guys, right? But with Giannis, I just can't think of anything truly comparable, right? Like, not to say that this is the most amazing performance that I've ever seen, but the story is so wildly different. Like, if Jokic hadn't won the MVP as being, like, the 40th pick in the draft, I think it would stand out just a little more how far it was that Giannis came from in this. But I was going back and I did some Googling on this, and people saw it in 2013. People saw it in Summer League. Like, this is one where, like, they just got a steal, where Danny Ainge took Kelly Olynyk instead of taking Giannis, where Minnesota took Shabazz Muhammad instead of taking Giannis. Like, there are a lot of teams that had the opportunity to have this for themselves.
Can you imagine? And just think about it like this. The biggest knock on him was, oh, he's light. Well, then if you get him 3 square meals a day, he gonna start growing. You know what I mean? And that, I felt like that was largely what happened, was just sort of like natural order filling itself out. And I remember seeing him as a very young player and just like, he's nothing but arms and legs, but he can get up and down the floor fluidly and easily. Like, I didn't look at him as a 7-footer. I didn't look at him as a power player probably until this year. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know how you were supposed to look at him up until this season. And I think if you look at him like a guy who has perimeter game but is a power player, the way that we frame the discussions around Giannis is totally different.
Well, I wonder this. You're talking about like the weight thing. Because one thing, I was talking to my buddy watching the game last night when they showed, and you, I mean, you were in the building, but they showed a clip of him in his rookie, like a picture of him in his rookie year at 196 pounds and a picture of him now at, you know, whatever his weight is and how much taller he was. But let me tell you about that picture. He's 196 pounds. Maybe y'all think he looks skinny, but you ain't gonna be able to sell me on that. Like, that dude was cutting swole and all that stuff already at that point. You know what I mean? Like he was not Kevin Durant in 2007 right. when he got to the league. Like, that's just not what it was. I looked at that and I was like, you know who would not have made the mistakes that people made in passing on him? If you took a college football coach, like one of the college football coaches specialized in open box specials, like Gary Patterson, where they're good at finding guys who just need to get on a strong nutrition plan, and then everything else goes, a football coach would have seen Giannis and been like, nah, I know what's about to happen here. They wouldn't have necessarily known that he was going to grow.
Right.
But they would have peeped game on that. I'd also like to ask this question. Vinny, you correct me if I'm wrong, but Giannis, like, he played some pro ball over there in Europe, right?
Yep.
They don't take care of y'all food? Like, what kind of game they playing over there? Like y'all wouldn't try to feed him? Like, somebody had to look at that and be like, no, have a seat at my table.
Everything in EuroLeague. Everything in where Luka came from. You know what yes. I mean? Like, Luka was with, like, the best player in EuroLeague at, what, age 17 or something like that. Yeah. This wasn't that. And the other thing, Bo, when people get on Giannis for what his game doesn't have, I think they're missing all the steps that he's made from the point that he got into the league in terms of player development. He doesn't have to improve another lick for him not to be the biggest player development story in the history of the NBA. The history of the game.
Or how about I can't this?
What?
If you're 7 feet tall and can face the basket, what are your greedy asses out here talking about? Well, what else can you do? What?
More. They want more. They want more. Shoot threes. That's what this nonsense has become, as opposed to somebody saying, you know what, Giannis? If you get maybe a 15-foot baseline fade, 15-foot to the middle, just a move and a counter, you'll be fine. You don't need to become a three-point shooter. Like, everybody ain't got to be that. And look, I get that three means more than two. But you know what stat I saw today? The only team to shoot worse from three and to win a championship were the 2004 Detroit Pistons. They shot 30% from three.
Oh, wow.
The Milwaukee Bucks shot 31. And this wow. is a team that's built to hit threes, right? And this ain't with Giannis taking a whole bunch of them this series. Giannis played disciplined this series. He was like, Jay Crowder, lunch meat. Cam Johnson, lunch meat. DeAndre Ayton, weight room. Like, he looked at all of them and took their asses out. That was the most impressive thing, was just the mindset and the fact that, you know what, I may take a couple threes, but I'm going to attack the basket and there's nothing you can do about
Dog,
it.
Dog, if you 7 feet tall and can go to the basket without looking at it when you dribble, I just don't think we, what are we talking about here? Like, oh man, if you know, he ain't got no bag. You know, I saw that. You know, like, people talk about, I really don't know how many people were actually saying that, but if you are a person that tries to make this argument about Giannis and try to talk about how he ain't got no bag, okay, this is what I'll say. So let's think about a bag, like a bag of basketball moves, as being like having boxing skills, right? You know, like, you know, you got your jab, you got your moves, you got all this stuff, you know, all those things. Okay, cool. Giannis got a gun, right? So, like, you can step up in here and be out here doing all this sweet science and, you know, ducking your head and making all these moves and it look all pretty and you kicking your feet up out of town. What gonna happen when I put that thing up to your temple? what that bag batter down? Like, yeah, that you gotta do that. I don't really gotta be out here fighting nobody. I got something for that. That's what it seemed like to me.
For who and for what?
Yeah. Like, I get you. Like, I mean, like, if Shaq played right now, would people be out here talking about how Shaq ain't got no 3-point shot? It don't matter.
Some idiots would be saying that. Have you met NBA Twitter?
Oh, God. Like, we're just finding something for everybody. But this dude, All those things you talking about having are cool to have if you need them. But if you don't need them, so one thing that I'm too young to grasp this, Vinny, you certainly are, and then like most people who I think are listening to this are too young to grasp, but if you go back and read like some of the stuff and ways that people talked about college basketball in the late 70s and early 80s when they brought the dunk back, where Fi Slamma Jamma and all the dunking they were doing was actually viewed like kind of controversially. And the point that Guy V. Lewis would always make, and Guy V. Lewis wasn't no basketball genius, his point always was, it's the highest percentage shot in basketball. You know, so yeah, we had this little stretch there where like Steph Curry had a higher expected value on a corner three than LeBron James would have in the, you know, inside 3 feet or something like that. Okay, that's kind of one dude, whatever it is. That still does not mean that dunking is bad or whatever, you know, or getting these closer shots are bad, however it is that you want to spin it. All that other stuff is if you need it. Duncan Robinson would not be shooting all those threes if he could get to the rack at will. Giannis can get to the rack at will. And they were just racking up fouls. And those fouls were all fouls. Like, it wasn't like he was just getting, like, superstar calls.
No, I think people don't understand the value of, like, foul trouble. And if you didn't see that in this series where Phoenix had one dude to protect the rim and Frank Kaminsky behind him, and Giannis was like, oh, okay, you know what? They got one dude. I'm going to get him in foul trouble, and the rest is going to be a freeway. Like, I don't know since when we became like these group of people where we said, the further you go out, the better. I grew up saying the closer you get to the basket, the easier it is. I remember asking Isaiah Thomas once, the only Isaiah Thomas that actually counts in a conversation like this. I remember asking him, like, you know, if the three-point shot was, you know, as prevalent and back then, what would you have done? He said, I would have gotten every layup possible because the lane would have been wide open. Why would I be out there shooting threes when it's these layups to take? And that dude was 6'1" going in there in the trees. What you think the game's supposed to be for a 7-footer who's long and quick and quick-twitched and has just as much quickness as he has power? Yeah, take your ass to the basket. What are we doing here with our basketball sensibilities if we're looking at Giannis and saying, you need a jump shot?
I tell you who decided that being able to shoot her from far away was the coolest thing in the world. People who could never get to the paint. That's who came up with that premise. People who could never dunk. That's who came up with that premise. Like, yeah, we need to make the game something that feels a little bit more like something I can achieve. You know?
And, Bo, I could never dunk. Like, you know what I mean? I ain't sitting right there acting as if I'm a high flyer. But I'm going to tell you like this. The game was a lot more fun. I was going to the paint.
No, I mean, but like going to the paint, it was always prioritized. And see, what's happened now that's just a little different is, I would not say that going to the paint has not been prioritized, but it's only been prioritized if you get all the way there. Like, what we are seeing, I think, with basketball, and this happens just kind of as systems reach equilibrium, right? And so it went so hard on threes, dunks, and free throws that the mid-range then became more attractive because the shots became more available. Right, because that became the open spot on the floor. Like, if we try to run everybody off the line and then stop everybody when they get into the paint, then there was going to be a point at which that was going to be it. Like, we talked about this with football before, that at some point you're going to see the return of power football because you're going to see a bunch of defensive tackles who aren't big enough to play against the run because they got to get in small linebackers because they got to play against the pass, and they're going to get so good at playing against the pass that now we're going to run it down your throat, and then there's not going to be anything that you can do about it. Like, I wonder if there is some measure of, like, market correction that's starting to go on there. I mentioned it before about them only having that one lottery pick. Phoenix was terrible for 10 years. 10 years getting all those picks, getting all the players that came with those picks, and remained terrible. And I'm doing highly questionable today, and one of the questions that's going to come up is, did Giannis prove that you don't need a super team to win a championship? And let's go back to 2013 was the last time that the Heat won a championship, you know, with that LeBron Bosh Wade thing. 2014 Spurs, yep. Not a super team.
Nope.
Nobody would say that. 2015 Warriors, not a super team.
Nope.
Right? At least not by any conventional definition that anybody would use. They were just really, really good, but not a super team. 16 Cavs, I feel like we can call them a super team, but in the end, how good was Kevin Love really?
And once again, what defines a super team? Is it three superstars or is it 2.5?
Well, see, the thing to me about it is, I think 2.5 counts But I think the idea of the super team is like the idea of a super group in music. Like, they were already stars before they wound up on the same team. So, like, I would say that the Brooklyn Nets, for example, right now, would count as one. I don't think I would say that with the Lakers just because it's LeBron and Anthony Davis. They just went and got one guy. But, like, the 2019 Raptors.
Nope.
Not a super team. There's so many different ways for you to do this. Keep it in mind, that Heat super team, 2013, was this close to them having to break the whole damn thing up. When they played in the finals in 2012 against the Thunder, we would not have called that a super team because they drafted all those guys in successive years, right? So we would not have used that term. But, I mean, that team got to the finals. If that team sticks together, they're legitimate championship contenders, you know, perhaps for a decade or whatever it is, you know, and we're probably not going to call that a super team. There's so many good basketball players now in the world, and you can get them at so many good places, so many good picks. So, like, who will we say this postseason, who the best players of the postseason were? I think we say Giannis, certainly. Yes. Devin Booker got his way onto that list.
Yes.
Paul George.
Yes.
Kawhi Leonard before he got hurt.
Yes.
None of those guys went in the top 10.
Did Paul George go 10?
He went 10. That's right. My fault. He went 10.
Yep. Booker went, what, 15?
Yeah. Booker was like 14 or 15. He was right there in that same range as Giannis and Kawhi, who went 15th, and Giannis, who went 15th. Again, the MVP is a dude who went 40th. You go look at that Raptors team and go up and down that. It's not like they had like a bunch of high-level draft picks who were like really talented but just never became that guy. They didn't have those dudes. Like, who on that Raptors team, looking back at it, was like the highest draft pick that they had? I can't think of anybody. They out there getting it from Fred Van Vliet. Kyle Lowry was a guy that went in the 20s.
Yep.
Like we said, Kawhi went 15. Serge Ibaka went late in the first round. Like, I mean, granted, they didn't go. Toronto was not the team that drafted them, but you get my point.
Yep.
It's so many different ways to build a squad right now and so many good players that it ain't really no excuses for a whole lot of people. Like, Milwaukee winning this, and Milwaukee and Toronto winning is like, I ain't trying to hear your small market noise. And before my Canadian brothers and sisters say anything, I'm not saying Toronto is a small market for real. I'm saying we Americans. And so we act like it is, right? Mm-hmm. Like, there's an issue. Toronto, for purposes of this discussion, kind of counts as a small market or whatever it is. Phoenix is not a small market, right? But I guess that's always been a place that's been fairly attractive, like, to older free agents, if anything else. But Phoenix getting to the finals. Hell, everybody got to be on alert. Like, I feel like Milwaukee winning should be like that time Wake Forest won the ACC in football in 2006. Half the conference fired their coaches in the next couple years because ain't nobody had no damn excuse. Wake Forest won the ACC in football in 2006, and by 2008, Duke was like, yo, we out here embarrassing ourselves. You know what I'm saying?
We got to tighten this up.
Yeah.
You got to think, who created this argument? We got to go back to the root of it. Who created the argument that we can't win unless there's a super team? A bunch of punk-ass GMs.
Yep.
Like, let's be perfectly honest here. What happened was, the archetype was, you tell me if I'm wrong, if I'm going back. From the 90s, from expansion, let's say from 24 to 30, right? After it became a 30-team lead, there wasn't enough talent for the teams. And then after Jordan and all those guys went out, there was kind of like this lull of top-level talent. If you pick a year, let's pick a year and say 2007, right? That was the first year LeBron got to the finals. If I named the five best players in basketball in 2007, how would they match up to the five best players in basketball now from a top level? You know what I'm saying?
I mean, there's a legitimate argument that in 2007, the best player in basketball was Dirk Nowitzki. And we're not saying Dirk's not cold. I want to be very, very clear about this, right?
Bro, you're going to get us all types of aggregated today. You do realize the hive you are pissing off.
No, I'm not saying Dirk hive. I'm saying there's an argument. Like, I think that the 2007 postseason, if you thought Dirk was the best player in the NBA, and then LeBron did what he did, and Dirk did what he did in that postseason, then, like, it was handed off right there. But that's what we're saying, though. But who the top five players were, I don't know. If we put Dirk Nowitzki now, as good as he was, I don't know if he won the top five players in the NBA.
Dirk in 2007. The only reason I would say yes is just because he could score literally from everywhere.
Right. I'm with you. But I don't know, right?
Yeah.
I'm not saying you're wrong.
Right.
But I don't know. But that is to give, like, Tim Duncan was a top five player at that point, and that's kind of the beginning of the decline of Tim Duncan. And Tim Duncan was really, really good. But, in fact, I think top five is probably not the best way to put it. The top 10 now is so much deeper. The top 20 is so much deeper. Like, if you really lined up all the players in the NBA, like, in fact, I'm going to do this right now. I'm going to go to Basketball Reference while we're here, and I am going to look up.
I want to see if there's a name that you pull from this year. If you're saying, if you're looking up this year, you looking up this year or 2007?
I'm looking up this year, and what I'm going to do is I am going to sort the league by win share.
Well, even before you go there, I'm going to ask you a question. I'm going to just ask you a random question. Because here's a guy we don't think of as being a quote-unquote playoff carrier yet. Zion Williamson in 2007, where is he?
A comic book?
And think Zion doesn't register in that way this year, right?
But yeah, in 2007? I don't think people realize how good Zion Williamson is, by the way. Like, I think that has as much to do with us being morons as anything else. But you're right. Zion Williamson, with the season he put up now, he puts that up in 2007. Oh, goodness. And actually, I think Zion might have been even better. You could be more physical with guys then. And let me tell you something, brother. Good luck with that.
Oh, you want to push me around? No, no, no. I'm going to push all y'all around.
All
27 and 7 on what, 60% shooting? Can you imagine what someone like Don Nelson would have did with Zion friggin' Williamson in 2007?
Oh, goodness. Like, all right, so here's what I'm going to do here. I've sorted the league by win shares per 48 minutes, right? Because I try to do it by win shares, but all the guys missing all that time just kind of, you know, skewed what this is. And so it's a little tricky because some guys overpopulate in the sample on just how well they, you know, they come up on this particular statistic, but it still gets you a bunch of guys. So like Montrezl Harrell is number 7 and Jonas Valanciunas is number 8. And none of us think that they are in the top 10 or even top 20 players in the NBA. Like Enes Kanter's at 14, right? So I'm acknowledging the weaknesses that we have here, but it does allow me to look up and say something like Bam Adebayo. Is he a top 20 player?
Yeah.
He might be. But we don't know that. Think about all the things that guy can do.
And we're not sure.
And he might be a top 20 player, right? We're not positive. Trae Young, probably not a top 20 player in the NBA.
Now, speaking of guys who made a star turn during the playoffs.
Yeah, but I don't know. I still don't, because he's such a terrible defender. I just don't know. Karl Towns, probably not a top 20 player in the NBA. And I got a lot of criticisms of Karl Towns, but if you're a top 20, you know, you feel where I'm coming from, right?
Yeah, put it like this. Let's just say I'm going to just name guys and you tell me definitively, just off the top of your brain, because I'm not looking at anything right. Yeah. I'm just going off the top of the brain. You tell me definitively, top 20 player right now. Giannis.
Yes.
A healthy Kawhi.
Yes.
Paul George.
He's around.
LeBron and Anthony Davis.
Yes and yes.
Steph Curry.
Yes.
Embiid.
Oh, yes.
Jokic.
Yes.
Now, mind you, I haven't even said Harden, Durant, Kyrie Irving, and we got into 10 names already.
Right. Look, Kyrie Irving, maybe. And that's not an insult to Kyrie Irving. Chris Middleton just was the second best player on a title team. I don't know if Chris Middleton is one of the 20 best players in the NBA. Is Jimmy top 20? I'd say probably.
But it's one of those like Hall of Fame arguments. It's not a definitive yes, but you could be talked into it. You
Jason
know what I mean?
Tatum.
Talked in. Look, he didn't make an All-NBA team this year.
That's what I'm saying. Like, that's how many good players there are in the NBA. Luka Doncic, honestly, I think he is a top 20 player in the NBA, but you could make a case that he's in the let's talk about it.
Yeah.
You know, now granted, he's out there playing with bums. Like, we understand that part, but there's so... Zion Williamson, probably a top 20 player in the NBA, but another one where I could see that maybe you're not sure.
For me, I would say because of what he does, I would say yes.
Yeah.
I would say for sure yes, but I would understand if there's a discussion.
How about this? Devin Booker and Chris Paul.
There's a discussion. Let's talk. We got to talk about it.
We have to talk about it. And Chris Paul's still really good. Devin Booker had y'all was wrong for this. Had y'all out here talking about he Kobe.
We didn't even mention Rudy Gobert. We mentioned, you know what I mean? We haven't mentioned a whole bunch of guys. So to me, if you're an organization, you have zero excuse. Back to your point, you have zero excuse to not at least go for it. Because there's not one team, not even the Brooklyn Nets, who, you know, they may very well be in this spot next year, but you can't say for sure that they're going to be here next year. There's no reason for you to say, you know what, not enough talent for me not to be going for it. Now, if the talent doesn't work or whatever, all right, so be it. But this ain't 2007 where you're saying there's not enough stars, there's not enough talent, there's not enough game to go around. That ain't this. No. And you can't say all you need is a super team to win, because all the evidence that we've been shown over the past decade and a half is that it ain't about super teams. What's a super team? It's not like a bunch of excuses.
Right. So with the Warriors thing, where you just added Kevin Durant to Steph Curry. Like,
yes. Yes.
It was a little bit overkill. I see where people are coming from, right? Also having one of the probably 10 best shooters in the NBA. They just put together a perimeter that... What were you supposed to do? Can you imagine watching Phil trying to come up with something?
Pray. That's what we're going to do. Coach, we going to switch 1-3? Yeah, but it ain't really going to matter. Y'all know the end result of this, right?
No, right. Right. We're going to get Steph Curry. We're going to get a mismatch for Steph Curry, or we're going to get a mismatch for Kevin Durant. What are you supposed to do? It's just not there, right? There's just not that much that you could wind up doing. But everybody else, you can go out there and get you a championship team. And I have to say, when the NBA decided that it wanted more parity, I was like, nah, people don't want that. We tend to have longstanding dynasties. That's what people want. But the part that I just didn't do the math on was part of why it was the way it was before was because there weren't as many great players as they are now. Like, basically, with the exception of 1994, 2004, and 2019, and I think 2021 would add to this, you had to have a top 50 player of all time at the time of the discussion to win a championship. Every team basically that had won a title had two top 50 players of all time on their roster. Every single one of them did that. It ain't got to be like that no more.
Not only is it not just because you don't have to have that, if you just have a team full of good players, like you don't look at the Milwaukee Bucks. In the context of today's NBA, you look at them and say, man, they're deep, they're a championship team, but they don't overwhelm you.
Right.
You know what I mean? And as good as the Phoenix Suns are, and I think the Suns will be better as Bridges gets better, as Ayton gets better, as Booker matures a little bit more, none of it scares you. You should look at this, and this should become inspirational to you if you're an organization. You're like, wait, as much as we can crack on, you're like, man, look, Milwaukee got a player that can't shoot. And they just won a title. And that's not me making fun of Giannis at all, because, once again, I just sung all his praises. But I'm just saying, y'all looking at teams being built in unconventional. There is no conventional way now. You know what I mean? There isn't that.
They built this team around the dude who got to America, started eating, and grew, and a guy who spent time in the G League.
A second round pick.
They built and developed a team and then presented a pitch to one of the five best players in the NBA at a time where everybody, I don't want to say bail because that has a negative connotation, but at a time where everybody was going to try to find, you know, the best, I don't want to say the easiest way, although Giannis did stick it to James Harden with that. But, you know, to find this way to get with this top level, you know, these top level guys and figure it out. And they, like, organically built a team through years and years and years of development. And here we are.
The best thing about this, they did it with Mike Budenholzer as their head coach. Do you know how great you got to be as a team to win a championship way?
People like, yo, you got to be out here hating if you don't want to give Budenholzer credit now. And I promise you, I'd be willing to if I could. Like, I turned around on Nick Nurse during 2019 when he was literally matching wits with Brett Brown. Right, but he did a good job in the finals.
One of the five worst coaches in the basketball.
We were at that Philly that game in Philly. Remember, we were hanging out that game in Philly, and we were just like, "Yo, ain't no coaches in this game. It's like nobody is coaching." And then Nick Nurse won a championship, so like I was able to acknowledge that it looked like they ain't had no coach, and then he did a better job coaching. Like I'm not just going to stand in this just to be right. I just need you to tell me what the hell Budenholzer did.
Look, someone said. I was on NBA TV yesterday, and they said Budenholzer made the adjustment to put, you know, to stop sticking Bobby Portis and Brooke Lopez on the Chris Paul. I said, and we calling that an adjustment? We're giving them credit for that? Or we can just say, hey, Drew Holiday, you're one of the best on-ball defenders in the league. Guard your man.
Yeah,
does that count as an adjustment? That kind of common sense.
I told you the way I put that is that's like saying it's an adjustment to turn the light on and now you can read. like what is it that we are talking about here? I still fire him. Like just because we won a championship don't mean we got to keep you. There gonna be some dudes on this team who don't come back after they win a championship. Ask Tyson Chandler about that. You know what I'm saying? I'd still fire this dude. Like nah, man, I'm just saying we can do better. Darvin Ham, right there. Like we got to give you a front office job, that's fine. We'll move you upstairs. You know what I'm saying? Make it look soft. Make it look like a smooth transition.
A cushy landing. Think about it. What coach has won Coach of the Year two times that legitimately won Coach of the Year twice that we literally look at and be like, man, he just ain't got it. What is he missing? It. Yeah. Whatever it is, he ain't got it.
All right. Last thing for you.
All right.
It's going to sound mean. Are you surprised that Chris Paul didn't throw a temper tantrum? Like, they was egging him when they sent Scott Foster to officiate that game to begin with, right? Like, they sent his nemesis to officiate the game. And then Bobby Portis, old country ass, got in there like I think Bobby Portis like, oh, we can get him. We can get him. Bobby Portis got on the microphone, and it just hit me. I know a lot of people from a lot of places, right? The one place that people are from and you can't get it out your mouth is Arkansas. Yes. Like, if you think about whoever you know from Arkansas, they all still sound like they from Arkansas. And so to give you a, like, to help make this point, our buddy Michael Eaves. Michael Eaves is from some town in Kentucky that ain't got no dime.
Right.
All right? I'm not sure what part of Kentucky, but whatever. You have no idea of this. I had to tell you this. Think about who you know from Arkansas. None
of them. I got one name. One name. And this could... Not that this would throw you off, but this could be the extreme anomaly. Derek Fisher.
I guess so. And I want to know how much work he put into this.
That's the thing.
Like, I need to know what it sounded like when he was in Arkansas. Bill Clinton went to goddamn Oxford. Still sounded like he from Arkansas.
He still sounded like a country dude. And Bobby Portis, I covered him in Chicago. This is not a dude who, oh, I'm in Milwaukee now, I'm going to start showing my ass. Bobby Portis was Bobby Portis the day he got drafted as a Chicago Bull. This was not anything new. Like, did you notice the moment? Speaking of Chris Paul, did you notice the moment? I can't remember what quarter it was. Might have been the second quarter. Where Bobby Portis looked like he was going to maybe give the right hand of God to Chris Paul. Like, these hands work. And I wonder if there was a look on Chris Paul's face. It was like, no, I don't really think this is what I really want here. I don't think this is it. Let me go mess with Scott Foster again.
Yeah, like, I didn't see your movie, but I heard about it. You know what I'm saying? But no, Chris Paul, like, nothing's on Chris Paul, whatever it is. But I was kind of hoping, because I have literally seen Chris Paul jump up and down and stomp his feet before. Like, I was kind of hoping to kind of get a repeat of that one. Because, I mean, you could see toward the end, he was just like, when they called that timeout, when they was down by 8 with, like, 19 seconds left, or down by 7, I was like, what you calling up, a 7-point play? Why y'all still doing this? Don't y'all want to go take showers? Like, don't y'all want to get clean and go home?
Oh, my God. Chris Paul wears it on his face.
Yeah.
He press conferences during the game, because he can be articulate and charismatic, but when he is in a mood, he can be short. And I don't mean short as in I can see the top of his head short. I mean short as in 3 words or less.
Right.
You know what I mean? This ain't the dude who can wear an attitude and wear it okay. You know what I mean? Monty, what you doing calling this timeout for and grabbing us together at the center of the court to tell us you love us? You can tell us that in the locker room, man. Let's get up out of here. Ain't got time for this.
You know, it's been a long season. It's been a long night, Monty. It's been a long night. I'm trying to get up out of here, right? You know, and Rachel, that's a, you know. Anyway, Rachel asked Chris, like, how does it feel? And he was like, it feels like we lost people. Like, that was a terrible question. No, that was the question to ask. Right? Like, this is Chris Paul in this moment after all this time. You could try to poke and prod and get to the bottom of it, but just generally speaking, the question was, how do you feel? You know?
Yeah, I wasn't in the room with him because I was, like, watching Giannis try to smoke a cigar in a whole other room. But when I heard that, I was like, how we determine something being a good question or a bad question is wholly dependent on the quality of the answer. Or 90% of the time, it's depending on how good the answer is. Because sometimes you just throw it out there. And if Chris Paul laid his soul out there for us to see, we say, great question. But because Chris Paul went Chris Paul, it was like, oh, no, that's a dumb question. Not really. That's the question to ask.
Well, also, people don't know this. This is the last thing we do because I know we're coming up on time. You've been here for this. And this is just, you can't explain to people. Elimination locker room or elimination post-game availability is the most awkward thing that we do in this business. It's the closest thing to asking people questions, like, in the emergency room after somebody dies. Like, that's the only thing I can give you. The room is stale and funky, right? It's just dudes sitting around looking sad. Mm-hmm. They don't really want to. And, by the way, the topic of discussion is how y'all lost. Like, that's what we here to talk about. Unfortunately, that's the game. Ain't no good way to do these.
None. And usually you asking questions after a game about framing about how y'all lost, but usually framing it about what you can do tomorrow. Tomorrow is October, bruh. Ain't nobody trying to talk about October. You tired, you frustrated. Here's the other part that I don't think people give a whole lot to. These locker rooms are close. So you are hearing these dudes celebrate.
Woo! Cause I'm on. Cause I'm on. You know?
And you got to stop your train of thought to hear this shit in your head.
Right.
And say, yeah, we know we lost.
Don't believe it, Jet. Watch. They over there playing whatever the new jam is, right? Like whatever is hitting right now, they over there playing it.
And we hear it too, so we asking the question. We try to get the pause in between like, man, that's kind of jamming back there too. I wonder what they doing in there. Chris Paul, how bad does it feel right
Louis
now?
Louis Knapsack, well, I'm holding all the work, yeah. What you know about that? What you know about that? And on that note, ladies and gentlemen, that is Vinny Goodwill. Check him out at Yahoo Sports. It's been a great season on this. I imagine we'll see you before October, though. We're going to have some free agency or something else happening. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, a whole bunch of free agency.
Yes. Well, ladies and gentlemen, thanks so much for joining us here on The Right Time. We do this 3 days a week. Gabe Bassan and Dave Presley handing things behind the scenes. Thank you, gentlemen. Remember, follow The Right Time. Rate us. Review us. Give us 5 stars. You only give us 4 stars. I'm inclined to believe you are a hater. We'll talk to you guys in a couple of days. Take it easy.
Thanks for checking out The Right Time with Bomani Jones Podcast.
You can listen or follow on the ESPN app or wherever you listen to podcasts.
The Right Time
with Bomani Jones.